Always do this, but I feel like it'd be good for us to have a word of prayer. Now, dear kind Heavenly Father, we come to you, dear Lord, this afternoon, dear Father in heaven. You see here, we've gathered here, dear Lord, in an assembly, and we've come, dear Lord, to worship thee and to meet, Lord, here, and to hear your word. And Father, we ask you now that you would bless here this evening, Father, that you would give the portion of the word of God that would be for our edification and for your glory, and bless each one in divine presence here this evening. And Lord, whatever is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise. Amen. Well, I think of the scripture in the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes, since when you come to the house of God to keep your foot, be more ready to hear than to speak. And I want to do my part of hearing. And so we desire, but I'm sure that the Lord has some of his word for us each time we meet together. I thought of the scripture in Psalms, I believe it is. I believe it's in the Psalms, maybe. 80th chapter, I'm not sure. It says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And, well, that there has different meanings, but one thing I think of is if we open our hearts wide to the Lord. Open our hearts wide and he will fill it. And certainly we need to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness, and filled with the things that God has to give us. We need to be filled with that. That's the only way that we can live successful lives, is to be filled with his grace, and with his life, with his Spirit, and his word. If we're not full of that, well, the devil will get his bit in, get something in our hearts. So it's very necessary for us to keep filled with God. And I desire your prayers this afternoon that the Lord would help me in the way that he sees that I need help. He has help for each one of us. He has the help that we need individually. He knows our individual needs, and he's able to supply that need individually. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that the Lord, he weighs each one of our paths. He weighs our paths, and he knows our down sittings, and he knows our uprisings, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And as we submit ourselves to the Lord and look to him, well, then he's able to supply that need, whatever it might be. Over in the 138th Psalm, we want to notice a scripture over here. We begin with the sixth verse. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I was thinking about the Lord perfecting that which concerneth me. That is The Lord has, He has everything that every child of God needs. When He finished the plan of salvation, well, it was so fixed by the wisdom and power and grace and knowledge of God that it met the need of every man if he can but come to the knowledge of the truth of God. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. There's a lot of things that concerns us in life, a lot of physical things, temporal things, and spiritual things. But the psalmist David said here, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And says, Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. I'm glad that you and I have someone to look to that is able to perfect our lives. I don't know how you have found it, but I found a lot of things that I wasn't perfect in, that I needed lots of help in, needed a lot of mercy in, a lot of compassion, and wisdom. I needed those things, but the Lord has, He has all of that that would perfect each one of our lives. That's the benefit of serving God, is that He knows us. I believe over in the 121st Psalm, maybe it is. We want to notice the scripture over here. I wanted that scripture where it says, He knows my down sittings and my uprisings. I believe it's in the 121st. It says, 139, thank you. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. I've thought of this verse here. It says in the second verse, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Lord knows our down sittings. He knows our uprisings, and like He said, it says, Thou art acquainted with all of my ways. The Lord, He looks upon us with compassion. He looks upon us as a father pitieth his children. Over in the 103rd Psalm it says, As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. There's lots of things that little children don't know. They need the teaching of their father. They need and their mother. They need to care. And a godly parent and a parent that is what they should be according to God's plan, their heart and compassion goes out toward their children. So it's the same way with the children of God, with God's children. His heart goes out with compassion toward us. Here in the 103rd Psalm, it says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so it flourishes. And the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The mercy of God is so great toward us, and his thoughts toward us is good thoughts. Over in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, that I may give you an expected end. So the people that lives where they can receive the mercy of God, they're a blessed people above any other people on the earth. We all need the mercy of God. We need his teaching. We need his upholding. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. I think of how dependent you and I are upon his mercies, how that we need his mercies. We need his help and his grace. Think of, I believe it's the 147th Psalm. Here it says, 147, where it speaks about the Lord takes, he has mercy upon the, maybe it's the 146. It's a scripture where it says the Lord taketh pleasure in them that hope in his mercies. Well, that's the reason. What is that? And what's it? 46 and 11? 47. Thank you. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of the man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Now, there is a great reward for everyone that truly fears God and hopes in his mercy. That gives God a chance to reveal himself to them. It gives him a chance to assist them in their ways if they're hoping in his mercies. And if we fear the Lord, fearing the Lord is something that is necessary for us to really make a success in life, is to fear God. We might come to a place and not be a lot of opportunities offered us and a lot of things that might come to our mind and set before us, but it would be wise for us, before we would choose any of those paths or any of those ways, it would be wise for us to consider the Lord. Consider, well, the Lord is my Creator. He is my God. He is the one that died for me. And he's the one that has all wisdom and all power. So we just wait upon the Lord and fear the Lord. And then, as we fear the Lord, well, the Lord is able and willing to help us to show his mercy to us. Over in, I believe it is, in the 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs, we want to notice the scripture over here. 13th chapter and the 14th verse. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Over in Proverbs, maybe the second chapter or third, it says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So the law of the wise, if God is law, He's the wise one. If He tells us what we should do and what we not do, well then, as we obey Him, we'll find that will be a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Over in the 14th chapter in the 27th verse, this same scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. If you and I want to depart from a ruined life, a wasted life, a life of sorrow, well then we want to fear the Lord. We want to fear Him. Fear God and keep His commandments, one scripture says, is the whole duty of man. If we fear God as we should, well then that gives God a chance to instruct us, to teach us in the way which we should go. You know, there's a lot of the old prophets and kings, it mentions about some of them, a fearing God, it says above many, a fearing God. So there's a real reward in fearing God. Here again it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. A fountain of life. A fountain is something that we think of, something that overflows, something that there's abundance there. So in God, as we fear the Lord, well then there's a fountain of life. Over in the 34th Psalm, some more about the fear of the Lord. Ninth verse says, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, the fear of God, that is something that you and I need. It's something we'll need as long as we live. And I believe it is in Ecclesiastes, maybe the 12th chapter, maybe the last verse, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But you know, there's no one that can keep the commandments of God only as they obtain help from God. But as they fear the Lord and wait upon Him, well then He has promised to help them. It says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That's one benefit of fearing the Lord. Did you ever start to say something and maybe the Lord would check you and tell you, you better keep quiet, you better not speak? Well, that's the fear of the Lord. If you're listening to that's God. That's God's mercy to you. Then as we fear the Lord and then we keep quiet when we would maybe speak and out of turn, well, then as we fear Him and wait upon Him, the Lord will teach us of His ways. He will guide us in a way that you and I would never find within ourselves without Him. But by fearing the Lord, well, He can help us. He can help us to receive of His help and His mercy. Over in the fourth chapter, I believe it is, of Malachi, you're going to notice another scripture over here. Fourth chapter of Malachi. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I think about the natural sun. When it arises, it gives light. We go about to accomplish the different things of our natural work and so on, and we see how to do it, so forth. Well then, in order for us to know how to live for God, we need the Sun of Righteousness to rise upon our souls. We need light from heaven. But you know that is only given to those that fear God, to those that fear the Lord. It says, but unto you that fear my name shall a Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. To really fear the Lord, I believe it means to wait upon the Lord. Same as it says in the fourth chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, you know, when we fear the Lord, well, that Sun of Righteousness, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But as we fear the Lord, the Sun of Righteousness arises upon us with healing in his wings. I think of how much better it is for those that walk in the fear of the Lord. Well, they have some healing to their, a lot of times the Lord heals people in their bodies, but especially also he affords healing for the soul. But that is those that has feared the Lord, those that has made the Lord their trust, made the Lord their choice, waited upon him, let him shine down upon him, upon them. The Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I'm glad for the healing that the Lord gives. Over in Peter, when he's speaking about by his stripes, it says we are healed. Well, I know that includes the healing of the body, but it also includes the healing of the soul. It includes the healing of the soul by Jesus' stripes, by his suffering, by him, God allowing him to be a sacrifice for us and paid the full penalty of our guilt and so on. And then as we are brought to the foot of the cross and we realize that Christ has paid the ransom for us, and we look to him maybe with a guilty, we're convicted of our sins, we look to him with a guilty condemnation upon our heart, but we look to him as our sacrifice, as our atonement. Well then, as we repent of our sins, really turn away from them, give ourselves to the Lord, well, he'll bring healing to our heart. He'll bring a peace to our heart, to our mind, that we have never experienced and that we could never get outside of Christ. Christ has a healing balm that this world doesn't have. It can't afford. There was one man, in his shop, he says, we specialize, fixing everything except a broken heart. We can't do that. That is a fix-it shop. Well, the Lord specializes in healing our hearts. If we fear him, if we get tired, before I got saved, I was tired of sin. I was sick of sin. I had some fear of God upon my heart. Even though I was unsaved, I refrained sometimes from going places when I was with a group of unsaved people. I would refrain sometime from going into the city because I knew about where they would go and what they would do. And I was afraid if I got out there that I'd get so far away from God I couldn't get back. So I refrained from that. Well, the Lord, He took advantage of that, and He finally helped me to find Him and come to the cross. And when I did, well, there was a healing taking place. There was a healing in my heart. And then the further I go, like the song says, the further I go and the longer I serve Him, the more precious He becomes. As we come to hard places in life and things that we don't know how to meet with, and we wait upon the Lord, well, the Lord, He applies that healing balm. Here in the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter of Malachi, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." You know, people that fear God and have had that healing balm applied to their souls, and wherein they maybe was bruised by sin and by the things of the world, and now they've escaped those things and have come to Christ, and He has saved them, given Him His peace, and well, they experience a healing balm that the world knows nothing about. I'm glad for that healing balm. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written in heaven before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." When we fear the Lord, it's just coming. It's just a common thing to speak one to another of the things of God, to tell what God has done for us, to tell how He's delivered us, how He saved us, and how He comforted us in the time of need. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." I'm glad that you and I can fear the Lord in so much and so completely that He will make a book of remembrance of that. One scripture says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." He knows those that have, that fears the Lord with all of their heart, that has turned from sin and given, walking before Him with fear and trembling. Well, then the Lord, He hearkens to their lives. He looks upon them. He remembers them. He writes them in His book. I'm glad that the Lord has my name written in His book. I'm glad that you can have your name written in His book. You know what those names is? It's in the book of life. And you know what that signifies? It signifies a people that has accepted His Son. It was a people that has accepted Christ, that has accepted the blood as atonement, has accepted Christ. Well, then He writes them down in the Lamb's book of life. That is, Jesus told us one place, He says, when some of them were rejoicing because the spirits were subject to Him, to them, He says, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So the ones that have the fear of God upon their hearts, one that has willingly submitted to God, one that says, "Lord, I don't want my way, but I want your way. I want you to work out my life for me." Well, then, it says, those that feared the Lord, He spake often one to another, and He hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. You know, the Lord is remembering our life. He's remembering our conversation. He's taking notice of how we spend our time. The Lord, He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget that at all. He has it in remembrance. But the thing that you and I want to do is just to keep fearing the Lord, walking before Him, and in the in the fear of the Lord, walking before Him and doing His will and pleasing Him in every way. I want us to turn over in, I believe it is in Acts, maybe the 8th chapter. I'm not sure it's 8th or 9th one. Here in the 9th chapter of Acts, this is after Paul's conversion, and he had went to Tarsus, and says here in the 31st verse, says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost." It says they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Everything that they did, they was careful for it to be according to God's will, according to His word. So they was walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost was multiplied. If you want the comfort of the Holy Ghost to be multiplied in your heart, you want that healing balm that He has promised to those that fear Him, well then just walk in the fear of the Lord. It says walking in the fear of the Lord. They didn't just walk once, but there says they continued walking in the fear of the Lord. And the comfort of the Holy Ghost was multiplied. There's just something that comes about by us walking in His ways that is different from the ways of our own. Over in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, we want to notice a scripture over here. Sixth chapter, where it speaks about standing in the ways. And see.
16th verse.
All right, thank you. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand you in your ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Well, if we fail to walk in His ways, in the fear of the Lord, well then we'll fail to have the comfort that we need. We'll fail to have the benefits that comes by us fearing God and keeping His commandments. We will fail to receive that comfort if we fail to walk in it. But if we stand in the ways and inquire and ask for the old paths and ask for the Bible way, like the song that we sang a little while ago, "There is but one way." If we ask for that way, well then it says, stand in the old paths and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. You know, as we walk in God's ways and in His paths, well then, that gives Him a chance to do a perfect work upon our heart, in our life, and we find rest to our souls. But if we fail to do that, well, of course, we miss the benefits that come by His blessings that He wants to give us. Here in 12 and 13 of Ecclesiastes says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad." You know, if to fear God, the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. It is rather a a strange thing, really, in the world, to think about God's plan for man and what He has provided for him, and how the blessings that comes by us of fearing God and keeping His commandments. And says this is the whole duty of man. And as we do that, well, then, instead of being like the Adam and Eve was when they fell to how the continued fear of God upon their heart, and they took their way, their own way, and disobeyed God and brought ruination to their heart and to their life and upon all of the descendants after that. But Christ has come, and He come to revoke that sentence of death. He come to bring back life and health to you and I, spiritually speaking. But it's as we fear God and keep His commandments that we'll be able to do the whole duty of man. I think about how that we need the Lord to teach us, to guide us, and to instruct us, and to help us as we go along through life. I believe it is over in Jeremiah, probably 10 and 23, if I remember right, it says, "We know, O Lord, that it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps." It's just not in us. You take the wisest man that ever lived. I guess that was Solomon. But when he fell to continue in the fear of God, well, he erred greatly. He got away from God. So if he did that, well, you and I, who is much less than blessed in wisdom and all, well, we will go astray too. We will fail. But if we fear God, we fear God and keep His commandments. One of the things of fearing God, He's given us commandments. And His, one scripture says, "Thy commandment is a lamp, thy light is, thy law is a lamp, and thy commandment is light," I believe it says. That's over in another place in Proverbs, I think. So the commandments of God, when we fear God and keep His commandments, they'll be a lamp to us. They will be a light to us. And then we can fulfill the whole duty of man. There's no man that is wise enough and learned enough to direct his own steps and his own paths that will cause him to end up in heaven. If we get to heaven, it'll be because we have feared God and we have let Him direct our steps. Let Him direct our lives. That's the only way that we'll ever get to heaven. That's the reason God wants to take us to heaven. But it's only as you and I fear God and continually walking in the fear of the Lord that He can cause us to be successful in living for Him. I'm glad that the Lord didn't just leave it to us to try to work out our own salvation within our own strength. There is something about us working out our salvation, but it's not in our own strength. Over in Philippians, I believe it is second chapter in the 12th verse, says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You and I fear and tremble before God and acknowledge, "Lord, I can't guide my own path. I can't choose my own way." As we fear and tremble before the Lord, that gives the Lord a chance to guide us. I think of that song we sang, 126, says, I place my trembling hand in thine. A trembling, what I get out of that word trembling there in that song is that we're just willing to go the way that the Lord wants us. We realize that He might lead us different ways from what we had would know, but we place our trembling hand in His. And when we place our trembling hand in His, well, that gives Him a chance to direct our paths, direct our ways, and He can lead us in a plain path, and He can bring us to heaven at last. There's no other way, really, to be safe except to fear God and keep His commandments. There's one woman said one time, she came to her wit's end, and she says, "I don't know of anything else to do but said, just trust the Lord." Well, that's what she should have been thinking all the time, is to trust the Lord. So it is the benefits that you and I have by trusting the Lord and fearing Him and waiting upon Him. Then when we wait upon the Lord, it says there in Isaiah, it says, "We shall renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings of eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint." That is what comes by fearing the Lord. It comes by what waiting upon the Lord. It comes by us acknowledging the Lord's ways, giving Him a chance to direct our paths. And when we do, we'll find that His ways is so much higher than our ways. His ways is the only way that will lead to heaven. Christ's ways is the only way that will lead to heaven. And it's only those who fear the Lord that will be able to be successful in living for God and having Him in their hearts and in our lives. The one thing I want us to remember is that those that fear the Lord, it said, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in His wings. You and I, to go through life and meet all the challenges of life and meet the things that we have to meet with, well, we'll need some healing all along the way. But that only comes about by us fearing the Lord, by us waiting upon the Lord, acknowledging Him, letting Him direct our paths. And I thank the Lord for the fear of the Lord. And I wish that there was more of the fear of God among people today. If there was more of the fear of God among people, to fear God, really, there is one scripture that says, a people, says they say the Lord will not do good and He will not do evil. There's just no fear of God. But to fear God is to believe that He will do good when He says He'll do good, and that He will punish when He says He'll punish. That's the true fear of God. And as we do that, as we realize that God will punish us if we don't fear Him, if we don't keep His commandments, and then we fear Him and trust Him, well, then there will be a healing balm applied to our hearts. I thought of the scripture over in Thessalonians that says, "Wherefore God has not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, that's those that fear God. Those that fear God, well, God hasn't appointed them to wrath, but He's appointed them to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has, He has salvation for us here in our souls, and then He has a place prepared for us when we leave this world. But it's only those that fear the Lord that will be able to get that crown. Over in the 11th chapter, I believe it is, maybe it's the 20th chapter of Revelation, we'll read this one scripture and then we'll be through. I believe it's the 20th chapter of Revelation. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now this here speaks of the judgment day, but here in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations, I want us to notice what it says. The 18th verse, and says, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, should destroy them which destroy the earth." Now this reward was to given to them that feared the name of the Lord, small and great. We might be ever so small in this world, we might be ever so insignificant here, but if we fear the Lord, we have a great reward awaiting us. We have a great reward, a place in heaven prepared for us, place where there will be no more death and no more sorrow, but it's those that fear the Lord that will be able to receive that reward. Shouldst give reward unto thy servants and the prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great. If you want a reward, want everlasting life, well, you fear the Lord. You keep His commandments, and there will be a reward for you. That's the whole duty of man. That's what, from the time we...